Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Classic FM. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, country, rock, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the websites Chosic.com and TheKnot.com. Question number one, what is the lizard? Is it A, popular dance from the 1950s? Is it B, 1960s hit song? Is it C, ancient musical instrument? Or is it D, famous rock band? The lizard. What is that anyway? And question number two, given that the month of June, named for the Roman goddess of marriage, Juno, is traditionally the most popular month for weddings, which of the following tunes is not a popular wedding party entrance song? Is it A, Who Let the Dogs Out? Is it B, Can't Touch This? Is it C, Funky Cake? Or is it D, I'm Too Sexy? By the way, this would be the song played when the bride and groom enter the reception venue after the wedding to get the reception party rocking. So which of those tunes is not a popular wedding entrance song? And the transitions for today are from onthisday.com. And today, quote unquote, is the weekend of June the 30th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1956 that Elvis Presley appeared on The Steve Allen Show. He was told not to dance, and Allen had him sing Hound Dog to a real basset hound wearing tails. Elvis serenades a dog in tails on TV today in 1956. And it was 63 years ago today, 1960, in London, that the musical Oliver premiered in the West End, where it ran for 2,618 performances. It premiered on Broadway in 1963. Oliver's London premiere, 1960, today.
Walks beside me is who I used to be, and I wonder if she sees him and confuses him with me. And I wonder who she's pining for on nights I'm not around. Could it be the man who did the things I'm living now? I was rougher than the timber, shipping out of Fond du Lac, when I headed south at 17, the sheriff on my back.
Jason Isbell's Live Oak introduces our country and folk music news. It's titled Jason Isbell Hits a New Peak. The American icon offers hard truths and deep healing on his ninth album. This is written by Will Hermes, Rolling Stone magazine, June 2023. In HBO's Jason Isbell documentary, he and fellow singer-songwriter Amanda Shires seemed to court-martial disaster, debating the best word for a lyric. Spoiler alert, Union survives. Writing is high stakes for Isbell. If I was making people dance, I wouldn't sit there and waste my time, he says, laughing. But they are not out there dancing. I gotta get these prepositions right. He does on Weather Vanes, his brutally beautiful ninth studio album. Its songs tremble with anger, desperation, and fear. Characters wrestle regret and unhealthy appetites, struggling to cut losses in the wake of bad choices and cascading consequences. Even the love songs are bruised and weary, chilled by cold truth. As a group document, Shires and her fiddle included, it's Isbell's strongest album to date. What's crazy is how, in these grim times, this is effectively feel-good music. The article skips down, ends with this. The strongest songs here have the fewest answers. Miles shows family dysfunction happens with the best of intentions, as his backing band, the 400-unit Flash, their classic rock bona fides, with the guitars echoing both later-day Beatles and Neil Young's tender murder ballad, Down by the River. The nostalgic prettiness might strike some as a band-aid on a bullet hole, but you learn to take your healing where you can get it.
Well, I carved a cross from live oak in a box from shortleaf pine, and buried her so deep she touched the water.
Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings introduces our classical music news. It's titled, Lately We've Read, Jose Serabrier, Portraits of the Maestro, a book by Michael Fauré, and this is review is published in Quarter Notes, Fall 2022. The book itself was Amadeus Press 2021. The review is written by Gracelyn Hyman. Reading this enjoyable book provides detailed information on the musical life and career of Jose Serabrier and, most importantly, a deep understanding of the tremendous talent of this man. Much of the book consists of interviews, and these give the book a very personal feeling. Many of these interviews were conducted by the author of this book, Michael Fauré, who is French music and movie critic. Born in Montevideo, Uruguay, Señor Serabrier did not become interested in music until the age of 9. He began by taking violin lessons and quickly started composing first for the violin and then for the symphony. At the age of 11, he decided he wanted to become a conductor. He went to the Minister of Culture's office and convinced the head of the music department there that there should be a youth orchestra. Serabrier assembled the orchestra in a week. Of course, he was the conductor. This is the first example of Maestro Serabrier's outstanding ability to enlist the help of others to develop his musical career. He has received many awards, fellowships, and grants. They are listed and explained in one chapter of the book. This chapter does not appear so much as bragging as an expression of gratitude for assistance. Mr. Serabrier has worked with some of the most respected contemporary conductors. A prolific composer himself, Maestro Serabrier, published works are cited in an appendix. Having begun composing at age 9, his latest pieces at age 82 date on 2020. They run the gamut from scores for solo instruments, ensembles, and symphonies to many other musical forms. There are several pages of interesting photographs. One is of Serabrier's debut conducting at age 11 as he faces the president of Uruguay and his cabinet. Others are of him with Leopold Stokowski, Samuel Barber, whose music's playing in the background now, and Ira Gershwin's sister. The world is fortunate that José Sierra Breer has devoted his life to classical music, and that in this book he takes us along on the adventure in such an engaging fashion. José Sierra Breer, Portrait of the Maestro, is available in hardcover and electronic formats.
We were good, we were gold, kind of dream that can't be sold. We were right till we weren't, built a home and watched it burn.
Miley Cyrus's Flowers introduces our music research and technology. It's titled, I'm a Harvard Neuroscientist. Here's the number one music I listen to when I need to focus. It's not classical. This is published on June the 20th, 2023 by Srini Pillai, MD, in CNBC.com. Music isn't just for entertainment. Having it on the background can help you focus better, even if you struggle with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. But with music and people being so diverse, how do you decide which is best for you? Researchers have found that when it comes to boosting brain power, there is no one-fits-all genre. It entirely depends on the individual and what they respond to. I have many favorites. Hip-hop, rap, pop, country, folk, classical, opera. So it's not about genre for me. As a musician and Harvard neuroscientist, I've found that familiar music or songs that you enjoy and know best are the most effective for maximizing concentration. A 2018 study found that familiar music activates many of the brain regions responsible for movement. So the focus is, quote-unquote, full-bodied. This means that I can sing along and feel a learned rhythm in my body because I've heard the song before. I have the pleasure of anticipating what's next. When I need to focus, familiar music helps me both relieve stress and connect with the emotions I need in order to be fully present. For example, if I'm angry about something and need to be let loose, I might listen to Lose Yourself by Eminem. If I've been suppressing sadness about a loss and have no energy left to focus, I'll listen to Adagio in G minor by Albinoni. If I'm feeling angry or agitated, I might rock out to Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit. If I'm stressed, I might go for something that calms me, like Miley Cyrus's Flowers. The song playing in the background right now. One thing I pay attention to is whether I'm over the music. Several studies have shown that your listening pleasure follows a U-shaped curve. First, it increases. But after a while, once your brain gets used to it, the returns are diminishing. Another group of researchers found that the type of music that most positively influences learning is soft, fast songs, like Jason Mraz's I'm Yours or Love on Top by Beyoncé. Loud, fast, soft, slow, and loud, slow music tended to hinder learning. Instrumental music can also be less disruptive than music with lyrics. There are many ways that music can impact the brain's ability to focus. One mechanism involves decreasing stress and cortisol, which allows the brain's attention center to operate without interruption. In the brain, the focus centers are directly connected to the regions that process emotion. So any music that makes you more emotionally volatile could disrupt your concentration. On the flip side, when you suppress your feelings, negative emotions just linger in your brain. And try as you might, you'll lose the capacity to focus. So, if music helps you to connect with your emotions, it can help you think more clearly, too. Srini Pillai, M.D., is a Harvard psychiatrist and brain researcher, chief medical officer and co-founder of Roulet, CEO of Neuro Business Group, and the author of Tinker, Dabble, Doodle, Try, Unlock the Power of the Unfocused Mind. So, follow him. For more information on this fascinating topic. Beatles' Get Back from the Let It Be Naked album introduces our rock and pop music. Paul McCartney sets records straight on new Beatles project. Nothing was artificially created. This is written by Emlyn Travis, Entertainment Weekly, on the 22nd of June, 2023. Sir Paul McCartney is clearing the air about the new Beatles song that was created with the help of artificial intelligence. The legendary hitmaker, 81, addressed the growing confusion and speculation about the track, which he's previously stated will act as the final Beatles song. Seems to be a lot of guesswork there, McCartney wrote. Can't say too much at this stage, but to be clear, nothing has been artificially or synthetically created. It's all real, and we all play on it. We cleaned up some existing recording, a process that has gone on for years. It was a demo that John had worked on, and we just finished it up. We were able to take John's voice and get it pure through AI, so then we could mix the record as you would normally do. This isn't the first time that AI has been used on a Beatles project. Peter Jackson had used the technology to restore audio recordings in the band's 2021 documentary series, Get Back. As noted in the 2003 liner notes for this CD by Kevin Howlett, by stripping away the decorative layers applied to some of the tracks, this special edition reveals Let It Be as it was meant to be. The dedicated Abbey Road team has ensured the warmth of the analog recording still colors the sound, but the crackle of tape has disappeared. As Paul commented when he heard the digitally cleaned up mixes, if we'd had today's technology then, it would sound like this because that was the noise we made in the studio. It's all exactly as it was in the room, but you're in a clearer room with the guys. It's sort of scary. You're right there now. So here it is, at last, Let It Be, Naked. The bare bones of the Beatles' music heard in January 1969. Why they wanted to adopt a raw and unadorned approach to these songs in the first place revolves around the ethos of the Beatles. Never do what you're expected to do. No studio effects or overdubbing of voices was allowed at any time. John told producer George Martin, none of your production rubbish was needed. During the early summer of 1969, Get Back and Don't Let Me Down were recorded on a single that topped the charts around the world. The Let It Be album, with Get Back as the lead song, reveals the wonder of our digital age, and it ensures the magic of the Beatles will be timeless and ageless. So, how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, what is the lizard? Is that A, it's a popular dance from the late 1950s? Is it B, a 1960s hit song? Is it C, an ancient musical instrument? Or was it D, a famous rock band? Correct answer? Answer C, an ancient musical instrument. As noted in medievallifeandtimes.info, the lizard is an ancient flute-like woodwind instrument which can be described as a horn, similar in design to the cornet, but made in a shallow S shape to accommodate the extra length. This gives it the appearance of a legless lizard, from where the instrument gets its name. It has woodwind-style finger holes and belongs to the cornet family of instruments, which came in different sizes. The high cornettino, the cornet or curved cornet, the tenor cornet or lizard, and the bass cornet. The lizard belongs to the family of woodwind instruments. The Iowa State publication Musica Antigua notes that the lizard's tone is pleasing, yet rather foggy. It blends well with voices and plays on one of the inner voices of an ensemble. It is listed in the Bands of Exeter in 1575 and appears in the inventory made in 1602 of the instruments at Hengrave Hall, Suffolk. And the answer to our second question, given that the month of June, named for the Roman goddess of marriage Juno, is traditionally the most popular month for weddings, which of the following tunes is not a popular wedding party entrance song? Is it A, Who Let the Dogs Out? Is it B, Can't Touch This? Is it C, Funky Cake? Or is it D, I'm Too Sexy? Correct answer? Answer C, Funky Cake. Hasn't been used yet as a wedding party entrance song. It's actually a fake title created in something called a song name generator. As noted in Chosik.com on 6/24/23, if you're stuck looking for the perfect name for your song, start here. The song name generator tool will give you countless title ideas of diverse song names mixes by mood and genre of your choice. This song name ideas generator is the best place where you can get creative song titles, as it is designed to ensure cool, memorable, and meaningful titles for tracks every time. Naming a song is as important as writing it, and looking for a perfect name for your track is worth it. The song's name is often the first impression it makes on your audience as an artist or music creator. It can attract the attention of others in the first time and push them to press the play button to listen. But there are times when a catchy good title doesn't jump at you straight from the song's hook. Most people usually use a word or phrase from somewhere in the song lyrics as the title, but using a phrase or word that fits the song's theme and is not in the song lyrics can make a pretty creative name. Also, not all songs have lyrics to choose from, but they still need titles. Using the song name generator tool is very simple. It will give you 20 random titles for every click for one of 10-plus genres and moods of your choice, which contain almost all kinds of songs. Use it for inspiration, or pick a name directly from the suggestions list after clicking the generate button. And as noted by Kristen Perry in an article published in TheKnot.com titled 30 Wedding Party Entrance Songs to Get the Party Started, although your wedding ceremony will be a big moment for you and your partner, the reception is what most of your guests are looking forward to. You can serve delicious food at a gorgeous venue, but the music is what really takes a party from mediocre to unforgettable. To help kick things off, you need to have a wedding party entrance song that will get people in the celebratory mood. Whether you want the hottest wedding party entrance songs that are making waves this year, or you're looking for a throwback wedding party entrance song that spans generations, make sure that you pick a song that fits the mood you're going for. Check out the list of wedding party reception entrance songs below if you need some ideas. After a serious ceremony, it can be difficult for your guests to immediately switch into party mode. You can help them out by playing some funny wedding party entrance songs as you arrive at the reception. These funny wedding party entrance songs will get some laughs out of your guests and get them into the mood to party. For example, the song It's Tricky by Run DMC, 1986, or Who Let the Dogs Out by Baha Men from the year 2000, or Can't Touch This by MC Hammer from 1990, Stanky Leg by G.S. Boys, 2009, 99 Problems by Jay-Z, 2003, Apache Jump On It by the Sugar Hill Gang, 1999, Hustlin' by Rick Ross, 2006, Shake Ya Tail Feather by Nelly featuring Murphy Lee and P. Diddy, 2003, and I'm Too Sexy by Right Said Fred, 1992. And that article about wedding party entrance songs was downloaded on the 31st of July, 2018. So let's end today's program with Hot Stuff. That's our wedding party entrance tune for June. This is Donna Summer taking us out. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is the language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1738. 5-5. So long. Until next time.